This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's the B-52s in Rome. Yes, it's just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com, and we are here to get your day started for you, help you through some of the stuff that's going on. You know how it is. There's so much news. There's so much information.
With special guest?
With special guest, Damon special Calvari. Guest, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
He introduces himself.
Yeah. I love it when your special guests doing their own intro. It's beautiful.
Hey, they're talented guests. Oh, they'll do everything here.
It's fantastic. All right, so a couple of things Leanne has on her mind this morning. You know when you see, and I saw a video just 15 seconds ago of a puppy.
Oh.
Exactly. Whenever you see a puppy and you can't deal with how cute it is, there's actually some very serious stuff happening with your body.
Oh?
I'm just looking at a picture of a puppy now to get me in the mood. But you get that feeling where you just want to squeeze them?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, surely that's unnatural.
I love puppy videos. I follow a whole range, a slew of... If you go through my Instagram, every third picture is a puppy.
Well, it's called the feeling that you have where you want to, I want to bite them. In fact, when I was a baby, if I saw other babies, I'd bite them because they were so damn cute. Well, it's called cute aggression.
Okay. All right, so tell me what it is.
Apparently, some people are so overwhelmed at the sight of a cute dog or a baby that their brain almost overloads. It sends a signal then to try and calm us down, making us feel like we want to squeeze, crush, or even bite creatures that we find cute, albeit in a harmless way.
Sure.
Because we can't actually take the feeling that we're experiencing.
How is crushing something harmless in a harmless way?
A psychologist in California, Riverside, decided to investigate the science behind cute aggression. Further, after a Yale University study revealed the phenomenon in 2015, she asked 54 study participants to wear caps fitted with electrodes, and then they were shown photographs of cute puppies and babies, along with pictures of less cute babies and adult animals. Sure. Overall, participants self-reported more significant feelings of cute aggression when faced with sweet-looking animals. Essentially for people who tend to experience the feeling of not being able to take how cute something is, cute aggression happens.
Huh, that explains a lot.
It's the brain's way of bringing us back down by mediating our feelings of being overwhelmed.
I've bit my dog's ears, but gently.
Why?
Have you not been listening to Leanne? She just explained it all.
Oh my God, dude, that's so weird.
No. And I put my dog's paws in my mouth and done the same thing.
But you know what? Animals do the same. My cats give me like these love nibbles.
Yeah, they do. They do. I've seen cats do that. Dogs not so much, but cats,
they
yes.
They give you like quite a tough bite, but it's out of love.
I've taught my dog not to lick me.
Oh, yes. I did that with mine. No licking, I say. No licking.
No. My dog knows not to lick me.
Mm.
But how did you do the teaching?
I just said no every time he did it. I would pull away and, you know.
Okay, so he's learned.
Yeah, I have the same thing. He knows not to. No. So now, if I touch him in a place he doesn't like, he'll lick me because he knows I'll pull away.
So it's almost like you're playing psychological. You're playing psychological games with each other.
Yeah.
All right. I want to get to Kelly's email. I think this is kind of it's a little disturbing. She says, it's a long email. I know you don't have a lot of patience, so please bear with me. This might interest you. So that caught my attention. Yesterday, I've received a random visit from the Labor Department. During the visit, I was informed that Cyril had signed a minimum wage bill, which is effective from the 1st of January next year. I can't find anything official yet on the status of this, but maybe you know something about it. Honestly, I don't. I felt stupid for not knowing, says Kelly, but I was even more stressed about my wage bill increasing from 118,000 to 163,000 rand a month. I mean, that's a lot of money, you know, if you're running your own little business. I run my late father's company along with my husband, and we employ 50 people, 45 of which live in the poorest areas of Port Elizabeth. Keeping my employees in work is very important to me, because most of them have been working there for 15 plus years, since I was in my early teens. So I was rather upset at the realization that I might have to retrench people just to keep the company open, which is hard enough in the current economic climate. I mentioned this to the ladies from the Labor Department. During our meeting, where we had to hand over a lot of information in a folder relating to complying with the labor law and basic conditions of employment, with which we do comply, the one lady took one of my staff aside to speak to them about PPEs, which is personal protection equipment. She instead asked them to write down their wage rate and their phone numbers. She said they must let her know if they have any problems and not to worry because they will help them out. One of the employees came to tell us about what had happened out of loyalty. I got the distinct feeling that I, as an employer, was being made out to be treating them badly and inciting distrust between me and them. I was angry about this and also repeated the conversation to the employees. I wasn't even given the chance to wrap my head around the situation and start making plans to make things work. Now, my question is, do I retaliate via my labor legal labor representative and call for an investigation into this incident, which almost caused a downing of tools or even a riot, or do I just keep quiet? I worry that they may send OHS, I don't know what that is, to come and shut us down. They're known for doing this type of thing. It feels vindictive and unprofessional. They're trying to make us as the employers into an enemy of the employees. I live for my job and my employees, and this just felt wrong. Sorry for such a long email. She says, I'm distraught. It feels like the whole world is against us and making it ever increasingly difficult to run a business and be successful. So this is where I don't understand, and we weren't going to get into politics on a Friday, but I don't know why government has to involve itself in anything to do between employees and employers, unless, of course, they have a dispute with each other. And in that case, they can go to the Council for Mediation, Conciliation and Arbitration, the CCMA, or they can go to the courts, or these days you can go to a union, and your union will do that for you. So I don't know why the Labor Department has to be going into private businesses and interfering in the relationship between an employer and employee. Here's how it works in the free market. You, as an employer, say, this is how much I'm prepared to pay. Someone accepts it, or they don't. If they don't accept it, they can go and look for work elsewhere. If they do accept it, then you as the employer have the responsibility to pay them every month, make sure that everything that they've asked for is in the package, make sure that you don't deny them any of their basic conditions of employment.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, right?
So why does the Labor Department have to go around visiting and trying to cause shit? I don't understand this, Kelly. I really don't.
No, well, it's a very difficult, complicated situation. There's a lot of oppression going on, and historically
Is this happening?
South Africa has a history.
If you're going to say that, you've got to give me an example. There isn't an example you can call to mind right now, can you?
Of course not. I don't have the knowledge of every single industry.
So you just assume?
Gareth, it is a known fact a lot of people get paid badly.
I dispute that.
That?
I'll tell you how I dispute that. There are only how many million people employed in this country? It ends up being, 30% of the population if we're lucky? We have a youth unemployment rate of some 50% or more. The problem that we have in South Africa isn't that employers are terrible and that they treat people badly. Otherwise, we would have even less employment, and we'd have very many businesses going out of business because they wouldn't be able to attract any workers. Workers aren't forced under pain of death to go and work for someone. There are so many people out there who don't have jobs. Millions of people who wish they could work and would work for even less and probably would put up with bad treatment. But they're not going running and taking the jobs away from people who are dissatisfied because the people aren't dissatisfied. So most employers are clearly doing a very good job.
Sorry, I just disagree.
On the basis of what, your feelings?
No, it's just from life experience. I've met a lot of people in my life that are unhappy that I don't get paid very well. It's in our history. It's a South African phenomenon.
Everyone on earth thinks they're not paid enough. Have you ever met anyone who goes, you know, I'm not only totally satisfied, but I feel I'm being paid too much?
Gareth, that's on the other side of the coin. That's another scenario.
Tell me one possible situation where someone would say, I'm paid exactly the right amount.
Gareth,
paid enough.
We have a huge skills problem in South Africa where a fortune of people are unskilled and uneducated, so they have to do jobs that are unskilled and they're not paid very much. And sometimes they get taken advantage of. It's a known fact.
Those are market economics. They get taken advantage of far less than the number of times that employers get into trouble because of the Labor Department.
Gareth, it happens. It happens. People don't get paid much. I was at a restaurant the other day.
People don't get paid or people don't get paid what they deserve.
A lot of people. Well, it works both, either or. I was at a restaurant the other day, a couple of months ago.
You sound like Stalin.
I was at a restaurant a couple of months ago, and Bernice was talking to a friend of hers who she recognized, and the friend whispered to her, you know, I was just speaking to one of the waitresses. They get paid 500 rand a month. Can you believe it? So they have to like rely mostly on tips. That's just one example, Gareth. I don't have to have the facts. I don't have to have documented proof. These things happen.
Well, Kelly,
I'm not saying it happens to every single person that works.
I feel sorry for Kelly. I feel sorry for her that she has to have this Labour Department visit out of the blue and come and start interfering in her business.
But Gareth, there's also the bigger picture. It's a vicious cycle. There's a good chance, you know, with a bad economy, things are cutthroat. So she might be in an industry where she's got hectic competition. She's got to lower her costs. She's got to sell things lower than what she should be.
This is what she's saying. She's going to have to lay off people.
So it's a difficult situation. I'm not saying I don't sympathize with Kelly as well. It's a whole thing.
All right. Okay. Well, I just thought it would be interesting to hear what everybody had to say about Kelly's situation. Carl says about puppies. My daughter is not a puppy, but I have this with my daughter. I constantly bite her and pinch her, sometimes to the point where she cries.
Oh, my goodness me.
That could be a problem.
That's a problem.
All right. How do you get promoted, Leanne? I mean, we were talking about how you just maintain your current salary and how you can hopefully get a little bit more. But how do you get promoted? This is what everybody wants to know. Here are the secrets. Finally, you've spent your whole life trying to find the secrets to how to get promoted. Dun-da-da-da, Leanne Moll had them the whole time.
Oh. This is something that, I mean, obviously there's no cookie cutter recipe here, but...
Oh, I thought you were going to give us the secrets to the universe.
Already the first point is debatable, or already it's a split phenomenon I see. Don't sell yourself short and do your due diligence. Selling yourself short, that's something that I battle with. I battle to ask for a lot of money or for a certain amount of money to justify what I do, and I always sell myself short. I'd rather surprise rather than disappoint.
You would rather under promise and over deliver.
But we're seeing a whole lot of things that are completely different to that or opposite to that. We've got people who say that they can do things, but they can't. They lie on their CVs. They get put into these high-powered jobs where they just can't handle what they're doing. Or you have the millennial phenomenon of...
Why is your hand gesture pointing towards me?
You're a millennial.
You can ask why it was pointing... My hand was pointing to the older people if I point to Gareth with this one. But yeah, millennials who can be overconfident... but yeah, the first point is don't sell yourself short, and do your due diligence. I can't say that word.
I know it's a horrible word.
Diligence.
But that's also because you had gin this morning before you started.
Due diligence.
I got it.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So what is that? I mean, is that like having?
So when asking for a raise or promotion,
you have to research it a little bit. Make sure that
the employer throw out the first number, also known as the anchor number.
All right.
So what happens if you wanted to ask for, say, a 50,000 rand a year raise?
Jesus.
But they anchor the conversation at 35,000. Okay. Now you have to work all your way up to your original number of 50,000, and a 15,000 rand difference is much more challenging to close. So... this manager, for instance, out of the seven who put this together, says, I also advise people against going and getting another job offer to then show to your current employer to show them what you're worth. Because it's a pretty big slap in the face to the employer. If they pay you more, what stops you from using company time in the future to interview and negotiate an offer again? It's just kind of disrespectful.
Disloyal.
Really disloyal. The next point, and this is from Deborah Sweeney.
I know her.
Yeah, there you go.
Deborah. I remember Deborah. I saw her the other day at the shops.
Yes.
She was in the vegetable aisle, and I came down there, and her trolley, this Deborah, I must tell you, her trolley blocked up the entire aisle.
Also, she's put on a bit of weight as well.
Yeah, shame she has.
Her point is prove that you're ready. You can't just ask and say, can I please be promoted? Your manager needs proof that you can actually do this. So show them examples of moments that you when you took initiative.
Right. People who have...
And when it paid off to benefit your
proactive
department.
Proactive attitude. But Deborah's right.
Yes.
I never thought I'd say it because I've never really got along with her, but that's right.
And she's always been on the ball.
What about Lindsay Walenga?
No, I don't like her.
Don't you?
She's got such a bad attitude. What does she say?
Know it all.
She says, demonstrate your bravery.
Oh, you see?
How?
Typical.
What?
She
says, drive without a seatbelt.
Many people think high performance is enough, but it's not. Bravery is essential. We expect open communication all year long, not just at performance reviews. The review should be just the summary of what you already know. No surprises from either side. If you're reaching higher and you're open with your ideas and expectations, you're on the fast track.
Hmm. All right, Lindsay. Take your word for it.
Hmm.
Anything else we need to know about being promoted?
Demonstrate a good attitude and strong aptitude.
Yeah, you see, that's kind of important. A bad attitude is not the greatest thing to work with.
I'm thinking of those two people being promoted lately themselves.
Sure. Well, yeah, Deborah has. I know that.
And then also not to just come across as foolproof and perfect. Ask your manager for help. Show a bit of vulnerability.
Right.
Then do what they say and then follow up.
You're not perfect.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Demonstrate self-leadership and accountability.
They want a lot. These bosses are going
to
promote.
But you've got to have a healthy balance. You can't overdo it. Then you'll become a threat to your boss. You've got to be careful.
You can't have that happen.
And now what you're doing, Damon, is being emotionally intelligent, which is the final
Well, that's my
point.
Only strength at this stage of my life.
But you've developed it well.
It's like how you regulate and manage yourself and your teams.
Oh, but I lack self-awareness. That is my weakness.
That was why I never promoted you
to
full producer. You were always just Tabo's assistant.
Exactly.
Oh, and now that it's Christmas party time, this manager says, another specific trait I look for is how they socialize with coworkers. This means observing if they attend office gatherings, company events, and meetings, because this shows me their commitment to learning and mentorship.
That's unfair.
That's unfair, because sometimes there are too many meetings and too many get-togethers.
Or sometimes you just might not like them, but you get the work done.
We're having a little one this morning at 9?
I heard light finger food.
Yes.
Which means I must hold back.
It means you need to go to McDonald's in... an hour and a half's time.
Yeah, just go take
yourself.
Just like go take the edge off somewhere industrial, then come back and hang out with us.
Somewhere industrial.
It's interesting. There was this article I read the other day about how one of the football coaches of one of the big teams says that what he likes to watch is how a player celebrates after they've scored a goal. If it's all about them and it's an individual thing and it doesn't involve the team. It usually isn't a good thing. It should involve them celebrating with their teammates.
They must all be jumping on top of each other.
Yeah. Very strange behavior nonetheless, but he says better because then it means they're a team person, they remember the others, they're doing it together, they're doing it for the long term.
And they like body-to-body contact.
Right.
If you do analyze it, I guess it is quite telling.
What do you mean, Sia?
As in, if you use that whole celebrating after
I thought you mean the body contact was telling.
No. I'm just moving.
I thought you were casting aspersions on every sportsman in the country.
Past that comment.
Well, I was.
Do you guys want to know what happened on Black Friday, numbers-wise?
I'd love to know, because I'm still seeing and hearing horror stories.
Took me a week to recover from Black Friday.
Did you go out on Black Friday?
No, just had the orders. We had extra orders for our fragrance. Oh. It took us a week to send. It was hectic.
But did you have the pressure of having to discount your products?
I had the pressure.
What did you discount them at?
Only by 15% because our margin's already very low. Mm. So we could only give 15%.
You're on the bones of your ass already.
When I saw people bitching, why can you got to give 80% discount. But what happens if you're selling something that's already very cheap?
Yeah.
You're screwed.
Right.
Well, there were 4,867,724 card basic transactions.
4 million?
Yeah.
South Africa.
Yeah. South Africa. That's just South Africa. 4,867,724 with a grand total of 4.8 million rand being transacted.
Is that all?
Sorry. No, I got that one wrong.
No, it can't be right. That's the number of card transactions. How much was the total money?
It does not say.
But the question
is about numbers of transactions.
But the question is, what would have been the normal amount of transactions if it wasn't Black Friday?
That's a very good question.
What's the comparison?
Very good question, Damon. But it's quite similar to last year. So if you think people are either shopping more or less, last year there were 4.7 million transactions, this year 4.8.
So slightly up, which would probably feed into this idea that we're 2.2% growth at the moment, not at the negative growth rates that we were before. That's probably a good sign. But still, this Black Friday, sure. I mean, who needs all these TVs? Who's watching TV?
Who's got the TV licenses?
It's not just TVs, Gareth.
It's this obsession that you've got to buy something because it's so cheap. Let's buy five of those, and you don't need five of those. Well, what are you going to do with five TVs?
Gareth, there's about two... They say, this is the report's coming out, that 2.89 billion rand was spent.
2.89 billion rand on Black Friday.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, God bless Black Friday.
Which was up from last year's 2.5 billion.
Yeah.
Take that, technical depression.
Yeah. Either the specials are getting better, or we're just becoming more hooked to American
trends. I think it's more that. It's like people feel they have to. Like, I didn't buy anything last year on Black Friday. I must buy something this year.
Yeah. Well, it's, I suppose, like the incidence of trick-or-treating on Halloween has probably increased.
Yeah.
Because we're adopting the American culture more and more and more.
Okay, no, Halloween never existed 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
In South Africa.
But speaking of big money, who do you think is the biggest music entity in the world still?
Adele.
As in, if you were to look at a music act, who gets paid the most? Currently in 2018, highest paid musicians.
Let's think.
I think Katy Perry's up there.
Beyonce must be.
I think the Rolling Stones.
Just everyone remember, you make money from...
Touring. So who tours the most?
That's how I think.
Lady Gaga.
Katy Perry.
Number one on $118 million, U2.
Still.
Okay. And the Rolling Stones?
The Rolling Stones, Damon, are nowhere.
Oi. See, now this is where...
Well, they've cut their touring schedule right down.
They've gathered moss and they can't move anymore.
Rolling Stones are 30.
Some of them, they're almost 80.
Rolling Stones made $39 million this year.
Okay, that's not bad.
Coldplay is second.
Yeah.
And third is Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
Bruno Mars fourth, Katy Perry fifth, Taylor Swift sixth, Jay-Z seventh, Guns N' Roses eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Waters? Anybody?
Oh, God, him?
Roger Waters said made $68 million this year.
That's impossible. He's terrible.
And Diddy made 64 and 10th, and Beyonce was 11th.
How much did you make, Ben?
When your legs don't work like they used to before.
Not enough, Gareth. Not enough.
And I can't sweep you off of your feet.
Is this you, Ben?
It is, Devon.
Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love?
last night, we karaoke'd for 3 hours.
Can your mouth
still remember the taste of your...
Where do you come up with these lyrics, man?
It's Ed Sheeran's lyrics.
No, I'm joking.
Can you please just go over the top three figures?
118 million for U2, 115.5 million for Coldplay, and 110 million for that ginger Ed Sheeran.
Now, this is why I'd be sort of pissed if I was in the top two. It's much like, remember at the Olympics when everyone made a great hoo-ha, rightfully so, for our rowing team coming back to the country after they had won?
Yeah.
Do you know they have to divide that by the four?
Yeah.
So same thing in the bands, they still have to divide that 118 million. So
for you two, they're four guys.
Oh, shame. And probably the frontman gets paid.
Yeah, and obviously Bono takes all the money, essentially.
But are these figures after all the expenses or before after the expenses?
Well, we don't know what their expenses are, Damon.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm asking.
So even if they divided it up, just the four of them, let's say they didn't have to pay for roadies and everything else. Let's say this is profit. They're still only getting 30 million out each.
And Bono's going to take a lot more than, say...
Bono will take the most. But I'm interested in, how much did Ed Sheeran at number three get?
Exactly, 110.
See, that's a true celebration.
He has tripled what Bono or The Edge or Larry Mullen Jr. get.
Mm. Why are you assuming that Bono takes it all? How do you know they don't have an equal split?
Because I don't think those guys would. I mean, without Bono, they... really can't do it.
Without Bono, they're all dads now.
It's has anybody seen the new Bohemian Rhapsody movie?
Mm-mm.
Queen movie? Nah.
You want to see it?
Oh,
I just know it's going to be a watered down version of the real story.
I've heard so many different reviews, but to me, the person really has to look like the other person, and he doesn't.
Sacha Baron Cohen would have been a better choice.
Yeah, but Sacha Baron Cohen wanted sex and drugs and AIDS. He wanted the real story.
Yeah, so. And Brian May didn't want to tell the real story because it's embarrassing for the guys who are still alive. They didn't want all the, you know, all this, the bad stuff about Freddie.
Okay, it's all coming back to me, yes.
See, I'm more excited to see the new Elton John movie. And Elton John even produces this. And, like, he's just shameless about things.
Elton's he's great. Included it all?
Oh, yeah.
Who's
the
main actor?
Elton.
I can first name starts with a T, surname starts with Elson. He starred in the Kingsman movies.
Oh, that guy.
But they could use those characters. Do you see that commercial with Elton John recently? That insurance commercial. Oh, it's amazing. You must look for it. Just go to YouTube and say Elton John insurance commercial.
Taron Egerton.
I get like 34% on my guess.
Yeah, the guy from Kingsman.
Yeah.
Which Elton John was in. Guy,
yeah.
Elton John was in that movie.
That's right.
Oh, yes, he was kidnapped in the movie.
That's where Elton first took a fancy to him.
Yeah.
Decided
Elton, by the way,
make a movie with you.
Elton, by the way, was 25th on the list. He made $46 million this year.
Nice.
J-Lo beat him by $1 million.
That's outrageous.
Can I tell you a quick Elton John story?
Outrageous.
Quick Elton John story. Real story.
Go on.
I met a woman, one of the mommies at Alexa's school. She worked at one of the fancy boutiques in London. It might have been Harrods or one of those. She was Elton John arrived and he bought a suit, right? He chose a suit. But then he went and he bought every single one of that suit in all the sizes in that place to make sure that only he ever had that suit. And apparently he does that all the time.
Fabulous. All the sizes?
All what the sizes, everything.
Them?
Can you imagine?
Burns
he them. Must have a storage room. This is a true story.
I think he probably eventually sells them back in.
Wow, for a man who got out of the closet, he probably surely has a big closet.
He must have huge storage rooms, and it's incredible.
He bought everyone.
But isn't it amazing how when these people become famous and wealthy, they become totally meshuggah. They lose their minds.
Well, this is
my life of excess.
This is my thoughts all the time when we discuss money and Forbes releases lists like the highest paid musician. Is imagine really being at a point in your life where you don't have to want for anything and you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do. A lot of us,
you become abnormal.
How do you wrap your head around that? You wake up and you have absolute freedom. You could decide, I'm not going to get out of bed for a week, and in a week's time you can still get up and then decide what to do from there. You know, when you don't have to work another day in your life financially, what do you do?
But you can't just kill anybody like the Saudi prince. There are limitations still.
Well. Yeah.
Even if you're really, really rich and powerful, you can't just kill Khashoggi.
Exactly.
The point is, this is how you get people saying, oh yeah, cool, I'm going to fly to a different time zone for breakfast and I'll be back.
Yeah, so now he's been like that for the last 40 years.
So can you imagine how much indulgence and eccentricity he has piled on? I mean, if Elton wants, I don't know, he wants his bathroom changed. Can you imagine what an enormous list of stuff needs to be generated around Elton's bathroom being changed?
Mm. Look, Michael Jackson had the same problem.
Yeah.
Hectic.
Michael Jackson would just walk into shops and say, I have 4 of those, I want 2 of those, I want 3 of those, and I want 8 of those, and I just put one of those in as well.
That's my favorite scene. I think it was from the documentary Living with Michael Jackson. That's where the first allegations of him being with children came from.
Yeah.
And he walks through an antique store, this high-end boutique, and just points at various things.
Mm.
Yeah, it does mess with your head.
I think you become... no one can tell you that you're doing something wrong. You start to believe every bit of the hype, and you can't take advice from anybody.
If that happens to me, will you guys tell me? Will you?
Send
me a WhatsApp, Damon. You becoming?
We'll tell you when to get off your high horse.
You're out of control. Okay.
So yesterday on the Unview, they actually had a Freddie Mercury and a Michael Jackson impersonator in.
And
they looked
Ford
really good. I saw
they
that.
They did, yeah.
There was an Alan Ford impersonator too.
No, that was Elvis impersonator in his latter years.
But could they actually sing?
Oh, that was Alan Ford. Sorry, I thought it was an Elvis impersonator.
But could they actually sing as well, or was it just the look?
The one guy, they did a this thing called love.
God love.
Mm-hmm. I just can't handle it, this thing. So I think they did that one. And
the Michael Jackson impersonator also sang.
The Michael Jackson guy was freakishly like Michael Jackson.
even off air, which kind of gave me the chills. Because I just crossed paths with him in the corridor and he goes, hi. I'm like, no. Don't follow me to the loo. I need
because you look so young. Because you are so young.
I was going to follow you into the cubicle.
He's standing character. He's
peekaboo.
What's that kind of acting?
Stanislavski.
No, the other, not the Stanislavski. Whatever. When you stay in character all the time. Method.
He's a method actor.
Method actor.
They're really good. Even the Freddie Mercury impersonator up close had, you know, the nice rosy cheeks. It had obviously makeup on, but even that, the way his eyeliner was formed around him, really, really good.
I wonder when they go home, do they still stay like a look? Oh, God, I'm going to kick out of that Club Central this morning.
And then as soon as they put the makeup on, hi, I'm Freddie.
Sonia, get me a beer.
All right, listen to this. This is interesting. This is from Leighton. He says, please stop playing that effing Sia song. I clearly only have so much patience left with humanity, and that is not helping.
It only got played once.
Yeah. It gets played a lot.
Oh.
It does. It gets played a lot.
Oh,
only
sorry.
For the last week. All right, then there's someone here. This is interesting. I'm going to hold off on the rest of the email, though, Leighton, because it's all political, and I said we weren't going to go there.
But Leighton's always been like that.
Yeah, I know. Ah, here's something from Brandon. He says, that citronella plant that you bought is great, because I bought a citronella plant the other day at Lifestyle Home and Garden.
Oh.
And clearly Brandon has one, too. It grows really well, and when it's a bit more sturdy, you can hose it down, and it will release the scent.
But does it keep the mosquitoes away?
Yes, that's the point of it. You can plant it around your herbs, lettuce, rockets, etc. It's a natural way of keeping unwanted pests away from your greens.
So it's worked for you?
Yeah.
Let's look into that.
Definitely worked for Brandon. He said, as for your discussion of Black Friday, and it's funny it came up just now, I'm selling my car in December, and I've been waiting for Black Friday to purchase a scooter. There is no reason for me to have a car. I'll get a car when I have kids. For the time being, we're working towards getting a cool holiday or road trip car that my wife will drive, and I'll get a scooter. Way more practical.
Tell that to Natalie Detoy. I mean, really.
When? Why do we all have cars anyway? Makes no sense. With a little bit of effort, we can take so many cars off the road. Heck, I wish I could ride my bicycle to work. That's Brandon.
It's coffin on wheels. Good luck.
I was talking to someone. When was this? Probably Monday or Tuesday, and they ride bikes, and they were saying how. This is something that they love doing. They feel free. They feel safe. They don't feel it's a problem. I remember I was always terrified. I think my parents put the fear of God into me about
that's
bikes.
Where mine stems from, definitely.
But I could never.
But yes, where the difference comes. People on proper motorbikes, I'm just generalizing, they'll wear special protective clothing with metal things on their knees and special metal shoes. But people on their bloody moped scooters, they're riding in their shorts.
Don't even have a helmet on.
Some of them don't even have, well, they do have helmets, but I mean, come.
And the excuse is always, but I'm not going fast.
I'm not going fast.
But when a car T-bones you.
You fall off a bike doing 10 kilometers. No, that's already, too fast.
You're finished.
Please, can you turn Damon down? He is screaming into the mic. I'm enjoying him, but hell, my ears are bleeding. Regards, Carl.
I think Carl's oversensitive because I've made a special effort actually to turn down.
Carl, I'm sitting next to him. Thoughts and prayers.
I especially made an effort to turn down.
Carl, it's impossible for Damon. I mean, have you not heard he's breathing through this whole last almost 2 hours?
You know what? I've always been a hard breather.
Exactly. It's just who he is, Carl.
When I was in Standard 3, I was on a school tour, and we were walking in a queue, and this girl in front of me, Angelivia, I still remember her, she turned around, "You're breathing very loud!" Can you believe it? I still remember that. Yeah, always been a heavy breather.
All right, well, what are your plans for December, Damon? Are you the Calvary's going anywhere?
No particular plans, because when you're in the manufacturing industry, you got a hit for that Christmas.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. And you got to do the perfumes, and so we're working all the way till the 23rd.
Have you made Alexa work in the factory?
No, but she does hang around a lot.
Okay.
And she's getting familiar with what we do.
Are you going to put her to work soon, like a child worker in China?
A sweatshop.
No, maybe when she's much older. Right. You know, you want a child. You got to have your childhood. You got to have your childhood.
Okay, very good. Ben, you had a boring birthday, but has your week improved?
Yeah, Gareth. So I didn't actually have a birthday last week, which is a bit shitty. But this week's been also pretty busy with work. I'm banking on the 17th.
Ah.
Yeah, I mean, last night was...
That's what you got your focus on.
It keeps being pushed out. Before you know it, you'll be a year older again.
Before I know it, I'll be celebrating my birthday on Christmas. Because that's when Jesus did his.
When does this show close in December? When does
We shut our doors on the 20th.
And then you'll play repeats.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do a little Christmas special.
The best of Cliff.
That's right. We've got a bunch of those. And your plans to December, Ass? Are you going to do anything exciting happening?
As mentioned, I have a family that's dwindling in numbers.
Yeah.
No one's breeding. Everyone's dying. So
isn't that exciting?
We're doing a Christmas lunch.
But I saw your brother has gone to London again.
Just for a week, for a wedding.
Oh, I thought he was going there for a long time.
Jeez, to London for
Isn't
a wedding.
Facebook are wonderful? You just like look at people, what people are doing.
Yeah, and they don't even know you're watching them.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
He was there 8 years ago. He came back 8 years ago.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
Sure. Apparently on Sex Talk today, they're talking about an expanded orgasm experience. An intimate, emotional, deeply pleasurable.
But they're always expanding their orgasms.
Always. They're always expanding their orgasms. It's part of what we like about them.
And it's a male and female, both sides.
So Tamar and Jonty.
And they both expand their orgasms.
That's what they do. And then we try to get you to expand your orgasms as well.
They always look happy, no wonder.
Right. Absolutely. They are the happy people. All right. Anything else you want to throw in there, Ben?
No, that was it, Gareth. I wanted to talk about all that money.
And we did. For Black Friday.
Well, also, I'm amazed by this whole thing about how these bands go and how much money they can make in 1 year. Like, U2's also actually released an album. But you know, that's no one cares. But the fact is that they can still travel the world, and people who are nostalgic and love going to these things, they still just get in there.
But do you think someone like Bruce Springsteen and Bono, do you think they've gone mad like Elton John and Michael Jackson? I don't think so.
No, I think
they're more down to earth.
But I think also they're bored. Because think, when you've traveled the world and done all these different things, you're now touring for money. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's like a new something. I think music's become a whole lot less interesting. And there they are, having been there in the 90s when it was still kind of cool and interesting.
But, I mean, Elton keeps it interesting by buying new pairs of glasses all the time. And
that's what he has
new
to do.
Hats.
Suits in every size.
It's about every suit that he can. I find it fascinating.
What do you think your eccentricity would be if you had... let's say $1 billion in the bank and you never had to worry about money again. What would your eccentricity, what would you collect? What would you do that was a complete waste of money?
Easy for me.
What?
I'd just have acres and acres of land, hectares, with homeless animals. Whoever's homeless can come.
You just hear it from miles away.
I'd probably eat out every day, which is terrible. And I'd be like that guy in Monty Python who exploded.
I think that's eight and eight and eight.
Yeah, it's.
You think you'd try to set a new record for the biggest fattest person?
Well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't consciously attempt that record, but it would naturally happen.
It would just accrue to you.
Yeah, I'd go and I'd eat sushi every day and shawarma. It could be a disaster.
You guys
just eat. I don't know. There's a lot, huh? I think I'd collect art and artifacts and historical. Ornaments and
start your own museum.
Yeah, probably. What'd you do, Ben?
I would create like a James Bond evil lair so I can be away from people, and I'll just have this amazing self-sufficient like ranch thing. That's also like
where you're away from everyone,
and then just have animals. Yeah.
Okay, maybe my animals can, and your dream.
No, I don't want your animals.
Oh,
your animals look like there's far too many. There'll be gangs forming. There'll be cat AIDS. It would be a mess. Yeah.
Donkeys.
Someone has to clean up all the turds and Leanne's animal farm.
Yeah, no, I'll have people doing that.
Should have staff.
See, if I gave you $1 billion and you were able to just do whatever you want and be eccentric as all hell, like Elton John, what do you think you'd end up spending your money on?
Elton is on a good path. I'd just live a ridiculously fabulous life. Ridiculously.
You would, just have parties and dress up the whole time?
Yes. Dinner parties galore, like the Great Gatsby. Ooh.
But won't you worry if your friends were real, genuine friends? Wouldn't that eat away at the back of your mind?
It wouldn't necessarily be about other people. It would be about me. So you say like your greatest splurge would be having dinner every night and you'd go out for sushi. I'd want to fly to Japan tonight just to go and have real sushi in the country. Then I want to croissant, so I fly to France.
You see, a little bit eccentric. See, I could burn his way through a billion very quickly.
In just a week.
Challenge accepted.
See, I would find a way to burn through $1 billion.
Don't you want to just see... Give me a bit of a challenge. Anyone want to offer me like $1 million?
Because all of us, if we pooled our money, wouldn't even get close.
But isn't it interesting? You look at somebody like Bill Gates and Melinda Gates. They haven't lost their minds, and they're so philanthropic. And
they've got more money than all of these.
And look at Warren Buffett. He's still driving the same car since 1965.
I know, but he's schnorrer.
He's extremely schnorrer, but. But he seems normal. Have you seen it? I saw a documentary. He seems like a normal person.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he's completely insane.
Yeah.
I was reading an article on Tim Cook from Apple about his daily schedule. And he leads as well a life that's just centered around his work and his role. Mm. He wakes up at 3 a.m. Right. He spends an hour just at the gym. Then after that, he'll sit and he'll read user email.
Does he go to a public gym with other normal people, or does he have his own gym?
That wasn't exactly specified.
Oh, they didn't specify.
But then he'll spend an hour reading emails from Apple users, people who are happy with the product or unhappy.
Oh, you must have read my email. It's fantastic.
And then from there, he'll go to the office. He's one of the first people to arrive.
Dear Damon, I was very pleased to receive your email the other day.
You've had your MacBook since 2009.
That's a long time. You can't expect it to last forever.
It's a bit slow. I'm complaining that it's
slow. Sometimes the beach ball of death will appear.
It appears all the time. I'm really, really struggling.
Maybe you should think about buying a new laptop.
I can't, because Bernice doesn't want me to buy an Apple.
Maybe you should think about...
Your new Apple!
She wants me to get a normal PC.
Tim's trying to respond to you.
Sorry.
Maybe you should think about getting a new wife.
Yeah.
Yours fondly, Tim Cook.
I don't think Tim would...
Imagine if he gave advice like
I don't
that.
Think Tim would be that personal that he would say something like that.
Dear Damon, I've met your wife, Bernice. She could be tricky.
How many PCs would have lasted 10 years?
None.
Seriously, none. So my Apple has served me so well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your email.
Is your wife anti-Apple or just anti-Apple because
she's
you have
She's anti... Well, no. She's anti-Apple because she thinks she doesn't like the functionality. Because she's an Excel freak. She loves Excel. She's like an Excel expert. And I'm clueless. So she's trying to teach me how to do Excel. But often she'll... I hate your Apple. Because there's certain nuances that are different. Huh.
Yeah, I think it's a Damon and Bernice issue, less than a PC and Mac issue.
Well, the two dovetail each other.
Yeah.
Want to know, speaking of Bill Gates, the books that he recommends to gift over the holidays.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that.
Or to read.
Okay, what is he giving his friends over the holidays?
A book called Educated, a memoir. It's by Tara Westover. Mm-hmm. Westover relates what it was like to grow up as a Mormon survivalist in rural Idaho.
Wow.
Sounds a bit heavy.
And eventually teach herself about the wide world. Mm-hmm. A book called Army of None by Paul Scharr, a veteran and military expert who helped draw up the current U.S. policy on autonomous weapons.
Sure, Bill reads some hectic stuff.
Pretty deep stuff, hey? Right. Something called Bad Blood, which sounds like it could be a nonfiction book, but it's not. It's about the blood testing company Theranos. Which reached a valuation of $10 billion before investigative journalists exposed the crazy truth that its product simply didn't work.
Whoa.
This one's quite a cathartic, spiritual one. 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Yuval Noah Harari.
Yes, that's a good one. I've read that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The Headspace Guide to Meditation and Mindfulness by Andy Puddicombe.
Puddicombe.
Of course. I remember Andy.
Puddicombe.
Used to ride four-wheelers around.
Hmm.
Oh, on the dirt track near Fourways.
He's the one who co-founded that app, Headspace.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
I have.
It's the one with the orange dot.
That's right.
I downloaded it a year ago. I still haven't used it.
Well, what does Headspace allegedly do?
It's meant to help you to meditate and focus and get your mind in the right place.
Oh, okay.
Because people don't have time. It's like I've got this app called Breathe.
Oh, yeah.
Which is meant to make you stop everything and go,
And then?
It's meant to calm you down.
Oh.
But it's just an annoyance. I've turned it off.
But you don't need it, Gareth. You're a very calm person.
I'm a very calm person.
I've only seen you throw something once or twice.
All right, we've got to get to George Meany. So let's talk to George. He's on Skype. George, where in the country are you at the moment?
I am in cloudy KZN. How's it going?
Ah, good. What are you doing down there?
We're having our Christmas function. So, you know, we've got offices all over the country. So I attend three functions as a result.
Very, very nice. Okay, so the Durban people's turn this time.
The Durban people's turn, yes.
So, George, we laughed a lot last week. What have you got for us on the menu today?
Well, this is no laughing matter, but, you know, the petrol price decreased on Wednesday by 1.84 rand, and diesel came down from between 1.45 rand and 1.47 rand. So it's a little bit of a consolation, maybe a slight laughing matter because the price is so high anyway. But on the average, you know, VW Polo, you're going to save about 65 rand a tank. And on the average Toyota Hilux or Fortuner, you're going to save about 110 rand a tank. So, you know, if you take a trip to Durban, probably going to save yourself the, you know, one of the toll gate fees.
Yeah, so it's not really that big a deal.
It's not that big a deal, but it's, you know, if it continues to come down, maybe. And 65 rand is 65 rand. Let's not laugh at that. But it is down, which is good.
All right. So petrol price down is never a thing to be too unhappy about. We'll take it. Thank you.
Exactly. I suppose the businesses that that do transport as a business, trucking companies, will be happy with it.
Sure.
And then hopefully that filters through the economy. But, you know, the biggest problem, as we said before, is the tax on fuel. The tax is the problem. Yeah. If we're paying 30, 35% tax on fuel, why not just bring that down? Because that'll save the economy a lot of money.
Because government are trying to take whatever they can.
Exactly.
Predating all taxes theft, all of it.
Tax is a man-made ruse, if you ask me.
It's made up. Read this book that Leanne was just talking about now, Yuval Noah Harari. Read the book Sapiens and Homo Deus. It'll give you a good idea of how.
I've read Homo Deus. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to read, though.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. Not hard as in, like, terrible, but you've got to concentrate a bit.
Okay, what else have you got?
VW's next generation of petrol and diesel cars will be its last. It's now put a stake in the sand and said by 2026 it will no longer produce petrol and diesel cars.
Only electric.
So the designers at the moment are busy working on the final VW design petrol design, should I say, and that will be the last. Now you got to ask yourself, is this an attempt to try and come back from the Dieselgate scandal?
Yeah.
You know, by driving sustainable transport in electric cars first and putting a stake in the sand, but good on them. I think this is the signs of the times. We're going to drive electric cars at some point.
All right. Damon says yes. He thinks it's also virtue signaling and trying to get points for being a nice people and a good company when you've been caught.
Yeah.
You've been caught lying to the public.
Yeah. It started off with Hitler's car, and then they improved since then, and then they had that setback with the fuel emissions.
Yeah, Damon. I would drive a Mack if I could.
See? All right. What else, George?
And then everybody's going on holiday. Well, not everybody. Some people are staying in Johannesburg, and some people are lucky enough to live in Cape Town or Durban. But if you're going on holiday, it is a good idea before you take the trip to check your car.
Ah.
You know, what should you check for? So first of all, tire pressure and tread. I am surprised at the number of people who haven't checked their tire pressure in months.
Yeah, Damon.
You know, when last?
When last did you check yours?
I admit I only do it like once a month.
Ben.
Yeah.
Leanne, how about you?
Is once a month enough? Because that's more or less what I do too.
Yeah,
I think
once a month if you're driving around town.
No, but some people do it every single time they fill up, and I think that's a bit obsessive.
No, I mean, if I was going on a long trip, I would definitely fill up and check the tire pressure, check the oil, water.
Okay, so tire pressure and wheel alignment generally needs to be sorted out before you go on a long trip. What else?
And shocks. Yeah. Or shocks.
And Well, tread on the tire is important because people don't realize that the tire doesn't wear evenly, and the inside of the tire often wears first because of wheel alignment issues. And so, you know, do yourself a favor, sit on the ground and look across the entire tire face. Make sure that the tread is evenly spread and there's enough tread across the entire tire face, because sometimes the inside of the tire wears first.
Okay. So you've got to have that looked at. What about the other stuff, the obvious stuff, like your lights have to be working?
What about a full service?
Yeah. I had a full service done on Tuesday or Wednesday, one of those two. They came and collected my car. They took it off. They did an excellent job. They actually took it all the way. Listen to this, George. These guys came in from Land Rover in Rustenburg. They picked my car up, put it on a truck, drove it all the way there, serviced it, and drove it all the way back on the back of a truck.
But why Rustenburg? Wow.
Because this is a special service they're offering so that people can get their car serviced, not have to worry about it. They'll bring them, they'll drop it off.
On a truck.
Isn't that amazing?
How do they make money?
Oh, exactly. You've got to wonder about that. I mean, that's pretty good service
that's
if you are.
Incredible service, yeah.
Service, and it's a service.
Maybe they just took it to somebody by the name of Rusty in Germiston. and there was a small mark, like a Berg next. Something maybe.
And they said, listen to this, the most impressive thing of all. They said, what time do you want it back? So I said, no, well, when you guys finish, like 5? So the woman wrote down 5 o'clock. They brought it. It arrived at 5 o'clock.
They must have waited around
the
corner.
Imagine. that's incredible,
and drinking ginger beer in the car.
Yeah. Sure, I was blown away.
I've never heard of somebody fetching your car in a truck for a service.
Isn't that amazing? So, George, because then you don't get extra Ks on the clock and nothing can happen to your car. It's amazing. Anyway, but you were busy talking about the service. So we've got tires down, we've got lights,
wipers and demisters. Wipers,
yes.
Wipers are a big thing.
My wipers are flapping around in the wind. They're completely shredded. It looks like I'm flaying something.
Usually goes to a storm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're driving behind Leanne in a storm and you see her veering off to the left and then to the right and snaking around, it's because she can't see through the bloody windscreen.
But it happens so quickly. They're absolutely fine, and then they're torn to shreds, you know.
Well, get them sorted out.
Yeah, no, I must.
Woman!
Will do.
Leanne, that usually happens when you don't switch the wipers off after it's stopped raining. Then it shreds the wipers.
No, I'll tell you what it's from. It's from parking my car in the sun in McGregor for a year. Oh. In the desert heat.
Oh, so then it bakes the rubber, and then it just kind of flays off.
Everybody in McGregor has all their windscreen wipers.
Everyone, that's how you know. We don't have number plates. That's how you recognize those cars.
All right.
And then the next thing is the steering. You know, drive your car and figure out whether you're having a tug of war to keep the car in the center of the road. If you are, you have a wheel alignment issue.
Steering wheel's quite important.
Yeah. The steering.
I've seen some taxis using spanners. I mean,
yeah. So George, okay, all of these things sorted, then you can go and you can have your holiday with peace of mind, right?
You can. Don't forget the spare wheel either.
Uh huh.
And
people
often
forget the spare wheel for a long time.
And suntan lotion, as Damon says. But you also need to know how to change a wheel. And I wonder how many people can do that. Can you change a tire?
Oh yeah, easily.
It's fun.
I was taught from very young.
Well, Leanne's quite handy. Ben can.
I even know how to fix an exhaust with Wix bubblegum.
Huh.
Wow.
I know the theory. And I've changed. I know how to do it and I've done it, but I don't do it smoothly and well. It's like instead of like 10 minutes, it's a half an hour struggle. It's an episode. It's a lot of sweat.
Sia, can you change a tire?
Oh, no. A few months ago, I changed insurance companies, and one of the first things that I looked up was whether they can send someone in to change my tire, and they do. So,
so they got
it's
the tender.
It's really quite a simple process.
It's very simple.
It is simple.
And if you get stuck out in somewhere like Pofadder, what are you going to do, sir?
George, would I really be found there?
Yeah.
What would I be doing there in the first?
You never know your next concert.
Yeah, when we go on the road with your songs, yeah.
I didn't go to F&B Stadium because of Beyonce. Now, why would I be in Ugu?
All right. Okay, is there anything else you need to tell us, George?
Yeah, so have you ever tried to put something inside a...
Oh, yes, I know the answer.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I thought
a panel
that was going to go somewhere else.
or a combi. No, I wasn't going there. Or a combi, you know, one of those load bearing cars with a big back. And if you have to put something in towards the front seats, how do you lean into this cargo area? Or when you take stuff out, I mean, even some boots and cars are big. So Ford has patented a conveyor belt for SUV cargo carriers. And you can put your stuff near the back of the boot area, and you push a button and conveys the goods to the back of the boot.
Oh, that is smart. Okay, I didn't understand even what you meant until you explained the conveyor belt thing, because I was trying to think, I've never put anything in a panel van.
Well, what I was trying to describe is a big load area. Like a hatchback, but where you have to lean into the car.
Yeah, or you've got to have someone in there already to take delivery and pull it back.
No. Okay, so they've built a conveyor belt for this.
They've built a conveyor belt. It's a little switch near to the boot, and you can put your whatever you're putting in the boot, your groceries, onto the front of the conveyor belt, push the button, and it conveys it to effectively the front of the car.
Like I heard Elton John has one of those for all his suits.
And his pianos.
All right, George, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll chat to you next week.
Have a good day.
Excellent. And you enjoyed Durban. Say hi to everybody there for us.
I will do.
Very good. Well, there we go. Panel van. Aren't those usually... child molesters usually in a panel van?
Yes, that's what they were manufactured for.
I think the term panel van is quite old. I don't think it gets used that much anymore. There was the Datsun 120Y, 140Y. That was a panel van.
That was very
that
bad.
Was a, I a saw Datsun? One the other day.
That was very bad for kids.
My dad still has one. We call it the dog car.
Yeah, my brother had a Datsun 120Y, but it wasn't a panel van. But that particular model had a panel van. The 140Y was better. Yeah, but it was stolen. We still miss FNT145T. She was taken from our pavement.
As Ben says, those cars are very bad news for children.
Yeah, and they're in high demand. My dad's panel van has had a couple of attempted robberies.
Is it a Datsun 120?
No, it's a Corsa.
Okay.
But you know what always saves it every time? He's got one of those old-fashioned steering locks.
Do people still use those?
He does, and that's what saves it.
Okay. It's incredible. Datsun panel van.
Not as iconic as the Datsun, but still very nice. You see it, Gareth?
Yeah, I can see. It's a horrible-looking car.
No, but it's...
That's the kind of car my parents warned me to never go close.
No, but it's iconic. It's like second maybe to the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, I think more kids went missing from Datsuns than any other brand in the 70s and 80s.
I wonder how they're going to counteract that. They can't just do electric cars. I mean, it's a whole lot more serious.
It's a scary-looking car. All right, everybody, we're out of time. Damon, thanks for coming to spend some time with us.
Lovely, thank you.
And happy December and all of that.
And to you all as well. Oh, C.S. says hello.
Oh, yeah. C.S.
C.S. Duplessis says hello.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bitter at all for not being invited. He was genuinely, he was fine.
He was not bitter at all. I didn't even think to invite him.
I made a mistake and tweeted.
Oh, you idiot.
I put my foot in it. I said, maybe C.S. Duplessis will come. Definitely not Tabo Monosani.
So did he message you and say, oh, I haven't been invited?
He didn't message me. What are you talking about? So I had to like sheepishly say, oh, yeah, put my foot in it. But he was fine. You know C.S.
Damon, socially adept as always.
Well, I mean...
Thanks. You've made us enemies we didn't know we had.
No, he's fine. He's fine.
You say so.
Why are the shows all...
He says hello. See, I says hello.
Thanks, Damon. Thanks.
No for ribbles.
Thanks. Nothing like ending it on a low. All right, let's get the unnews done, shall we? Let's see what's going on in the world. Here's the important stuff that you need to pay attention to this morning. This Christmas, you can finally buy singing Baby Shark dolls. You know, Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do. Police are said to be on high alert as incidents of domestic violence are set to skyrocket after 2 days of owning such a toy. Pravin Gordhan says that Eskom will not be privatized and that they must just sort out their production and management problems. Gordhan also said it's a matter of time until there's peace in the Middle East. Donald Trump will eventually love Mexico, and even the naughty children will get gifts from Santa this Christmas. And it's the Cape Town Sevens this weekend, and with that, the highest concentration of drunk white chicks in all of South Africa will gather. People in the Greater Greenpoint area are advised to keep their dogs and cats inside, as the high-pitched screeching and shouting is said to be nothing short of hazardous to their health. And that is what we've got for you this morning. We will see you on Monday. Have an excellent weekend. And there's plenty of good stuff coming up on cliffcentral.com today, including The Sex Show and Casper De Vries, among others.
This is cliffcentral.com.